Let us begin with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we quiet our hearts before you. Open our ears to hear your voice, and open our hearts to receive your word. As we talk about your command to love you and others, may your Spirit transform our hearts. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. I met a Christian brother at work. His whole day runs on a checklist. Meetings, emails, report, calls. One thing after another. But in the middle of that checklist, he wrote one word, God. So when his days gets busy and crazy, and finally he reaches God, he stops. He closed the laptop, put away his handphone, and pray. Then he checked it off. That pause was beautiful. But look at what happened. God just became another item to complete, not a person to enjoy. A task to finish, not a relationship. The checklist kept God in a box, but Jesus is calling us to something else today. So today's topic is from duty to delight. God doesn't want your checklist. He wants your heart. He's not after more rules for you. He's after delight in Him and love that overflows. Let us see what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 22, 34 to 40. The Pharisees asked Jesus, "Which is the great commandment?" Notice their question. "What must we do?" Not, "Who are you to me?" Rules distract us from the person. Religion fills our hand, but love fills our heart. The Pharisee mindset is all about duty. What must I do? They treated God like a boss who hands out rules. Sometimes we do it too. I did my 10-minute devotion in the morning, check the checklist, and then I can go. We have all been there. Here is a distracting trap. Duty makes God a task, but love makes him the person. Let us turn to verses 34 to 36. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which is a great commandment in the law?" After Jesus silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees came together to confront him. One of them, a law expert, asked, "Teacher, which is a great commandment in the law?" Two things to know about the law. First, the law here refers to the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament. Second, there are 613 rules in the Torah. You see, the Jews has a complex system of laws. Other than the Torah, they have the Mishnah. The Mishnah is a how-to manual for the Torah. It serves as a practical guide to the Torah. For example, the Torah commands, observe the Sabbath day. The Mishnah specifies 39 types of work that they do not do on the Sabbath. It tells them the ritual that marks the start and end of Sabbath. The Mishnah also includes dietary laws and other rituals. So for them, following God is managing a massive checklist. Some laws are weighty, and some laws are light. Which one matter? That's what the rabbis have been arguing about all day long. And that's how the question for Jesus comes about. What's the number one rule? Years ago, I was in Israel. One morning, we headed down for breakfast and we stepped into the lift. We pressed L for lobby. Then it stopped at the next level. And it stopped and stopped. 11th floor, 10, 9, all the way down. No one was getting into the lift or getting out of the lift. We were confused and then annoyed. At one floor, the door opened and a group of Jewish men stepped in. They didn't touch the button. They just stood still with eyes forward. Then someone whispered, "Today is the Sabbath. They don't work. And pressing a button is work." Then it clicks. The lift was on Sabbath mode. It had been programmed to stop at every floor so that no one had to do the work of pressing the lift. 613 rules even built into the elevator. That's duty. The law wasn't meant to be an elevator stopping at every floor. The law was meant to carry you to the person. This law system treats God like a boss, handing out job descriptions, a checklist, minimum, performance. Tell me the rules so that I can check it and move on. We give God a Sunday slot, then we run our life. God, what must I do? How much must I do? If I can only do the number one thing, I will check the box. You can obey, what must I do, without your heart being engaged. You can serve God, but never know Him. This question, what must I do, built up anxiety. It breeds burnt out, not love. This is because we'll always be wondering, is that enough? Oswald Chambers was a Scottish Baptist evangelist. He wrote, "The main thing is not what you do for God, but what God does for you." Chambers said, "God isn't asking what you do for Him. He's asking what He can do for you." That flips everything. The Pharisee asks, "What must I do?" Jesus wants us to reflect, "Who are you to me?" Relationships ask a heart question, not a rule question, a heart question. H-E-A-R-T. Who are you to me? God is not boss first. God is our Father. He is love. He is joy. God is the provider. He provides for all our needs. God is our refuge. He is our help in times of needs. God wants us to love Him with the whole of our being, with heart, soul, and mind. Not partial, not Sunday only, not spiritual box checked. God does not want your checklist. He wants all of you. I have a guest room at home. It doubles up as my study. Painting, craft work, all the mess go there. Quarterly, my family gather there at my home. My nephews, my nieces, as well as my grandnephew and nieces. And that room, spotless, clear, ready. I don't tidy this room because of a chore checklist. I tidy for the love of my nephew and nieces and the little ones. The chore checklist is duty. My loved ones are beloved and delight. Same room, different motif. That is what Jesus is saying here. He does not want to be my chore checklist. He wants to be the beloved and the delight in my room. When Jesus is the beloved, obedience stops feeling like duty and starts feeling like delight. Jesus answered in verses 37 to 38. And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment." Jesus does not give a shorter list. Jesus gives you a person to love, a relationship to delight in. Jesus does not invent a new answer. He draws his answer from the Shema. Jesus quoted Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. After the opening words in the Shema, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one," comes Jesus' commandment. The Shema plays a key role in the Jewish religious system. It is recited twice a day, morning and night, every day, every child. So when Jesus says, "Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind," it is not something new to them. The commandment to love God is foundational to the Christian faith. It guides believers in their relationship with God and their interaction with the people around them. The first and great commandment is to love God with all of one's being, with heart, soul, and mind. Jesus calls us to a full-hearted love, not partial. Heart, soul, and mind are not three parts of us. There are three ways to say all of you. Heart is your affection, what you love. Soul is your life, your breath. Mind is your thoughts, your choices. This commandment is not just a moral obligation, but a call to embody God's love in our lives. It is a commitment to God and a reflection of our relationship with Him. One Bible commentator says that this commandment is like an expansion of the first of the Ten Commandments. "I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods besides me." No other gods, no divided heart. We shall love Him with the entire person, our heart, soul, and mind. Not three checklists, all of us. Your affection, your life, your thoughts. Someone shared, "My wife didn't marry 30% of me. She didn't marry my Sunday self only. She married all of me. The patient me, the angry me, the tired me, and the dreaming me. If I only love her in my free time or when I feel like it, that's not marriage. That's dating. God doesn't want my church hours. He wants all of me, heart, soul, and mind." What does it look like to move God from the checklist to a relationship with Him? We can give Jesus our day. How may we share our day with Jesus instead of giving Him a morning devotional time slot? We can talk to Him at work, at mealtime, or at any time of the day. We can give Jesus our day. Connect with God. How may you read the Bible to hear God's voice instead of completing the reading plan? Give God immediate attention. When God nudges you, obey Him now. Love's prompts, a quick yes. Delight in God never stays vertical, it spills over and flows horizontal, and you start loving people. If delight in God is genuine, it never ends with the person. It overflows to others. Jesus emphasized love in all aspects of life. In verse 39, Jesus says, "And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus quotes Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus' command was revolutionary in those days. It stretched love beyond family, tribe, and religion to include all people. This command reflects Christ's selfless, inclusive love. This love for your neighbor is not an abstract love, nor is it an emotional love, but it is a concrete responsibility and love. It is the act of giving to one's neighbor what that person needs and helping this person to live as God intended him to be. Love your neighbor as yourself. As yourself here sets the standard. We are to love your neighbor and treat others with the same love, empathy, and respect that you want for yourself. This is an article from the Salt and Light website. This article brings love your neighbor as yourself in the hardest place, the place of grief. Nicholas Tay was drunk driving when his car crashed. This accident killed his girlfriend Maria instantly. Imagine the pain for Maria's parents, Fernando and Elizabeth Jimenez. Their daughter was gone. Nicholas said, "I needed to see them, to tell them what happened, so that they heard it directly from me. I needed to tell them I was sorry." Nicholas walked into their house, shaking and crying. Grief could have caused Fernando and Elizabeth to build walls. Instead, they chose radical forgiveness. Maria's mother, Elizabeth, hugged Nicholas. And her father, Fernando, prayed. He told Nicholas, "Son, I forgive you. The reason I can forgive you is because I first knew God before I knew my family." From the moment Nicholas stepped into their house, Elizabeth was able to show love towards Nicholas because she remembered thinking, "If the person behind the wheel had been my own son or my husband or even myself, how would I want the world to react?" This is where Jesus' command was lived out. As yourself mean, treat others with the same love, empathy, and respect you want for yourself. Not only did they forgave Nicholas, they welcomed him, extended love to him, and called him son. Duty slams the door of our heart. It builds walls and keeps scores. Because God first loved us, delight learns to keep the heart open. That's neighbor's love, not just polite distance. When God is our delight, even broken neighbors get loved and welcome. Henry Nouwen was a Dutch Catholic priest. In his book, Life of the Beloved, he wrote, "We can only leave what we have received. We cannot give love if we have not received it." Now, what does love your neighbor as yourself look like for you? Duty turns people into checklists. 10 minutes only if they deserve it. Only if I have the time. Delight sees people as an invitation. When I'm at home, what's one thing my spouse, kids, or parents actually need from me today, not just what I'm willing to give? When I am at work, do I treat colleagues as competition, tools, or as neighbors made in God's image? At church, how may you love the difficult member with empathy instead of avoidance? For enemies who have hurt me or let me down, do I want justice or do I want them restored? When God is our delight, people stops being chores. They become invitations. Love your enemy as yourself is a relational courage. Like Maria's parents, the Jimenez family, we stop seeing people as burden and duty and start seeing them as invitation to delight and love. Jesus does not reduce the law. He reveals its root. Love is the motive. This is delight, not less obedience, but obedience from love and joy. Jesus said in verse 40, "On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." The two love commandments belong together. They cover the vertical relationship with God and the horizontal relationship with people. These are the greatest commandments because they show us the purpose God has created human to live, giving oneself to God and to others. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. This is who God is to us. He is our Father, provider, refuge. We delight in Him because He is God. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is who we are to others. When we delight in God, loving people stops being a chore checklist. The twofold love command keeps us from the distracting trap of checking duties without love. It compels us to love God, and from that we love people. When the two commandments come together, then loving. When the two commandments come together, then loving your neighbors only works when we are delighting in God. In conclusion, from duty to delight. Duty says, I have to love. I'll try harder. Delight says, God is my Father, provider, refuge, so I'm free to love. God does not want your checklist. God wants your heart. Let us close in prayer. Dear Jesus, you said the greatest command is to love you and people. So we bring our hearts before you. Teach us to love you with everything, and let the love spill onto everyone around us, because delight begins with you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.